You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Check this.
The NFL Podcast with Gil Alexander and Dave Kelner.
Good to have you back with us, folks. It is the NFL Podcast Week 1 in the National Football League. Dave Kelner here in the studio in the UK, joined by Gil Alexander, who's live on Skype stateside with us. And Gil, first of all, it's been a long time, and I've missed our weekly conversations on the American football, Gil.
I have as well. How was your summer, Dave?
It was very good. I've enjoyed it immensely, but because we mentioned this on podcasts throughout the years, Gil, we've been doing this a few years now, and we've discussed that the NFL season is such a short time span. It feels like one moment it's around, the next minute it's gone, and I've been waiting for those Sunday nights here in the UK with good quality live sporting US action, and I'm glad the season's back and hopefully we'll be in full swing week number one.
It is really a religious thing here in the U.S. I mean, it's amazing to know that the sport is growing to whatever extent as a fan sport in the U.K. But I will tell you, as short as it is in the calendar year, football, American football, is king here in the States. Everything else at this point in 2016 is just sort of a secondary sport. Nothing brings the country together like primetime football. It's really amazing. Gets bigger and bigger every year.
And we've already had one game in week one, Gil, with the Denver Broncos confirming their Super Bowl superiority over the Carolina Panthers. Did you manage to catch that game last night, Gil?
I did. You know, it's funny how after the game, everybody was saying, oh, what a great game to start off the season. That was amazing. And I think people do confuse competitive with great sometimes. You know, competitive, certainly. Denver wins it 21-20 and covers the spread in the process. They were 3-point underdogs. But great football, I don't know that it was. I mean, Denver still has a lot of problems on the offensive side of the ball. Trevor Siemian comported himself well as their new starting quarterback out of Northwestern University, just outside of Chicago. But I will tell you that with Carolina, you know, they appear to still be a very good football team, but they're so poorly disciplined. Cam Newton takes forever getting out of the huddle. Their use of timeouts is just so haphazard. It's just so loose with that very precious commodity. They get penalized in ways that Ron Rivera is still a very strange guy when it comes to coaching decisions. So after that game last night, the bottom line is, Dave, I don't really know what we learned about both teams other than it's more of the same. Carolina's going to be undisciplined. They're still going to make great plays. They're still going to be good. Denver's still got a great defense.
Do we think that Carolina are going to be more of a passing threat now they've got Kelvin Benjamin back?
Yes, they have to be. They've got to be. They've been waiting for Kelvin Benjamin. Devin Funchess is 1 year further into the league, so you would assume that Carolina will be more of a passing threat. But you know what? As long as you got Cam back there, their biggest weapon will always just be, and this is very simple, Cam just taking the ball and running it up the gut. He's such a force. But yes, with Kelvin Benjamin back, you will see more passing from them for sure.
Gil, let's get stuck into this week because we've got five games to look at that are live and televised here in the UK. And we start with the Sunday evening matchup at 6 p.m. and it's the Green Bay Packers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Green Bay 10-23 on the money line. The Jags are 19-10, and the spread is set at 4.5 here, Gil. The Packers -4.5 at 10-11. The Jags +4.5 at 10-11. It's a rarity, Gil, that we get to see Jacksonville on our television screens. Not one of the marquee franchises, shall we say?
No, but you get them in London every year, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Thank you for that.
Only the best for you, Dave. Only the best for the entire United Kingdom. Listen, Jacksonville is a great young bunch of players. They've got a lot of talent. Drafted well the last couple years. And they're one of these teams that are a very sexy pick among professional gamblers in Las Vegas for a season over win total. Jacksonville was 5-11 last year. They had a really tough schedule. They had 6 road games in a 7-week span last year. That's almost unheard of. That's a tough road to hoe for any team, let alone a young one. But they had a very powerful offense. And I don't know. This spread has come down, and I think rightfully so. It was 5.5, I believe, earlier in the week. It's now 4.5, as you mentioned. The thing with Green Bay is we know it's Aaron Rodgers. We know Green Bay's got an easy schedule this year. And we know Green Bay's going to go to the playoffs. The question is, what are the spots that might be questionable for them? And I might argue that this might be one of them. It's going to be a very hot and humid day in Jacksonville. The Packers, my buddy Marco D'Angelo pointed this out on my podcast yesterday. They only were outgained by opponents on the road last year, where the Packers by 58 yards per game, only outgaining a couple teams last year, and one of them was the Niners. That doesn't count, and I think the only other team they outgained was the Lions by 7 yards. So Green Bay, not great on the road, but they do get Jordy Nelson back here. They won 10 games without him against the tough schedule last year. Jordy's 31, though, Dave. You know, I don't know that we can immediately catapult him to Jordy status from last year. Let's watch him a game or two. And the big news for Aaron Rodgers on offense, besides that, getting a really good tight end in Jared Cook. So he's got weapons back. They're going to be good this year. My only question is this the game you want to lay the number -4.5? I'd almost lean Jacksonville here.
And you mentioned Jordy Nelson, Gil. Is it a concern that we haven't seen him in preseason? Would that be worrying you going into this match?
I don't know that would be worrying me, because I think any team who had a guy that valuable coming off an injury like that, I remember untouched, one of those where he was just running a pattern and he just fell to the ground, which seems to happen so much more often these days in football for whatever reason. But I think that's just a precautionary measure. That alone doesn't worry me. But the fact is that he's 31, as I mentioned, and anybody who's of advanced age in football terms who has an injury like that, you know, I'd like to see him one or two times before before I make a real assessment about him. By the way, I can apply that same logic to the Jacksonville Jaguars as a team. While they have all this wonderful talent, while I might lean because they're getting the points, 4.5 of them in this game, the fact is that until I see Jacksonville actually beat good teams, I can't completely wrap my arms around them yet, too. We'll talk about the Redskins. The Redskins are the same way. They're coming up. Some teams, and I don't know if you have teams like this in the Premier League, all the talent in the world, all the promise in the world, but until you see it happen, you got to question whether you want to put your money behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what do you make to the decision to release the 2-time All-Pro guard, Josh Sitton, as well? He was released last week. The timing seems a little bit strange for Green Bay to make that decision as a franchise.
It does. And to be honest with you, Dave, I don't know what the salary cap implications were about that. That might have something to do with it. Some of these moves are made, you know, the biggest offensive line head scratcher made in the last few years was when the Patriots got rid of Logan Mankins and sent him to Tampa Bay. So you wonder sometimes what these teams are thinking in terms of cap moves and if they're really playing for now or if they're playing for later. In the case of Green Bay, they're obviously playing for now, but you know, I'm going to cede to them on that football move. I don't purport to be an expert about offensive line play or their salary cap situation. So apparently they know what they're doing. I can't say the same for other teams like the Eagles, who we won't discuss today, who are going with Carson Wentz as their starting quarterback week one. Moves like that really do make one wonder who's at the helm. But as far as this one with an offensive lineman, I'll just assume the Packers know what they're doing here.
So in summary, Gil, you're expecting better things from Jacksonville as a whole this season and leaning Jacksonville receiving the points on Sunday night, but not fully convinced yet.
That is a good summation. How was that for a big hedge of a capsule of that game? Yes, I like Jacksonville. I just don't like them that much. But I would lean Jacksonville here in this particular game, yes.
Let's move on to the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants 10-11 on the money line. The Cowboys 10-11, and this spread is just one now. The Giants +1 at 10-11. The Cowboys -1 at 10-11. Any movement in Vegas as far as the line is concerned, first of all, Gil?
Well, yeah, a little, but nothing significant. I mean, it basically bounces from a pick'em to a one to a one and a half back to a one. I mean, it's really right there as a coin flip, basically, with the Giants just a little bit of a favorite. But, you know, this is one of these where I don't know if you all follow the preseason, but Tony Romo, of course, as I'm sure you know, having the compression fracture in his vertebrae, so he is done for at least half a season. Really, he just ought to hang it up, Dave. I mean, he's got a wife, he's got kids, let's wrap it up, you know. But the young quarterback, Dak Prescott, who's a rookie out of Mississippi State University, he had a monster preseason, so everybody in Dallas and everybody who's a Cowboys fan is just so bullish on this kid. But it's preseason, and there is absolutely no correlation with preseason success, from preseason success, I should say, with regular season success. And you'll never go broke betting against a rookie quarterback in his very first game in the NFL. You just won't. So for that reason alone, I would go Giants here, for another litany of reasons as well, which we'll get into.
How difficult? You mentioned Dak Prescott, and I think you summed it up pretty well in terms of his preseason form has been extra special, really, and they're without Tony Romo. They have struggled without Tony Romo in 2015 as well, the Dallas Cowboys. We've been on this podcast on numerous occasions discussing the Cowboys' life without number nine under center. They only won one of 12 games without Romo in 2015. Prescott gets the call to fill Romo's cleats. He has to make that transition from preseason to National Football League action. How difficult is that transition, Gil?
Oh, I mean, it can't be stressed enough how difficult that is. And he went to a big time school and a big time conference in college football, did Dak Prescott. So it's not like he faced minor college football competition, which, again, harkening back to the Eagles and Carson Wentz is going from sort of B or C league college football to the NFL. In Dak Prescott's case, that's not the case. His preseason stats, just for the record, 39 for 50 for 454 yards. So just a great preseason. But again, the leap is the leap. And when you read, you know, reading the defenses in his college football conference is not the same thing as reading defenses in the NFL. And the Giants spent about $200 million on defense in terms of contracts this offseason to improve their defense. So the Giants are really reloaded on defense. And really, when you look at the Giants season last year, this is a season of epic underachievement. They were 6-10 last year, but they lost four games where they were leading after three quarters, the most of any team in the league. It gets much worse than that. Astoundingly, they lost five games in which they held a lead in the final 2 minutes of regulation. And Dave, as folks may recall, they lost three games after the opposing team took the lead on a field goal with 1 or 0 seconds remaining. They were 1-5 in games decided by 3 points or less. And here's the biggest feat. They won the turnover battle in 9 games last year. The biggest indicator of success in the NFL is if you win or lose the turnover battle. Really, that's the biggest lesson we can learn on this show today. The single biggest statistic that translates to NFL success is, do you win the turnover battle or not? Well, the Giants did it 9 times last year. Their record straight up in those games was 4-5. You have to try to do that. You really do. And it was, you know, four blown fourth quarter leads were the culprit, you know. There was a turnover versus Atlanta. There was a turnover versus the Jets late. Clock mismanagement versus Dallas. Clock mismanagement versus New England. So they just underachieved epically. So I think the Giants, and they've got Eli Manning back. Eli Manning's going to have a monster year with Odell Beckham Jr. And company on that offense. I expect the Giants to win this football game.
It seems to me, Gil, as well, the Giants, this is boom or bust for the Giants now. They've invested so heavily in the offseason to give Eli Manning a shot at another Super Bowl title. They're not looking to the future here. They're looking to win now, aren't they, Gil?
You're absolutely right. And I think that of all the divisions in the NFC, you know, the NFC is very much like the National League in baseball. I won't get too much into inside baseball, but there's the NFC, basically, we kind of know five of the six playoff teams, and they all come from the other divisions. We kind of have an inkling that Arizona and Seattle are going to be in the playoffs, Carolina is going to be in the playoffs, and probably Green Bay for sure, maybe Minnesota. The Teddy Bridgewater thing may throw a monkey wrench into that. But basically, we're pretty sure that those five teams are going to be in the playoffs. The question is the NFC East, Dallas, the Giants, the Redskins, and the Eagles, who the heck knows who's coming out of that division? And so, yes, based on that alone, the Giants have to feel very bullish. Like, look, even if we go 9-7 or 10-6 here, we got a great shot of getting to the postseason. And the Giants are as prepared as any of those teams in that division to do so. So I think you're absolutely right. It's all about this year for the Giants. Eli Manning's window is starting to close. You know, it's not eminently shut here, but it's starting to close. He's no spring chicken. He's gotten to the two Super Bowls. He's won the two Super Bowls. He's had a great career already. But I think they're looking for one last hurrah.
Absolutely. I agree. New York Giants, the pick against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's look at Sunday night, late Sunday night, early Monday morning UK time. 1:30 start for the New England Patriots at the Arizona Cardinals. And the Patriots are 12-5 on the money line. The Cardinals 5-14. The Patriots plus 6.5 with extra juice here at 20-23. The Cardinals minus 6.5 at 20-21. Total points line is set at 46.5. The under 10-11. The over in the market at 10-11. Gil, we're so used to seeing this New England franchise overcome adversity that perhaps we expect Bill Belichick and his team to find a way to cope without Tom Brady. I'm happy to say this, Gil. Deflategate has finally come to an end. That saga is complete.
Yeah, well, I guess Tom Brady would tell you it's complete after game four when he finally serves a suspension. But yes, the adjudication of it is finally over. And oh, what a wonderful American scandal that was, wasn't it? Oh, yes.
I agree.
Deflategate.
And Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the first-time starter as quarterback for the Patriots on Sunday night. And I guess I want to know whether he's going to have Rob Gronkowski as a weapon here, because he's been limited with what's been described, Gil, as an undisclosed issue. And he never saw any preseason action. Deion Lewis is out. They're without their captain and defensive end, Rob Ninkovich, as well, who's suspended after violating one of the NFL's policy, or the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing substances. So the New England Patriots, they seem to be in disarray at the moment, Gil.
All of that is true, and yet it's Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where if it were any other team, you'd be like, oh, man, they are in trouble. But when Bill Belichick has an entire offseason to prepare for one game, you know, I want to take Arizona here, but they're already giving 6.5 points. So for me, it's a stay away because it's Belichick, and it's just Belichick alone that keeps me off it. Because everything you're saying is right. And by the way, I do think Gronkowski's going to play. Not for one second do I think Rob Gronkowski's not going to play this game. But the Ninkovich suspension cannot be emphasized enough. That's a huge loss for the Patriots. Ninkovich on defense. Obviously, Tom Brady to Jimmy Garoppolo is an epic drop from a Hall of Famer to a guy who's never started a single game. And we know that Bruce Arians and company are already the most blitz-happy team in the NFL. They blitzed on 46% of defensive snaps last year. Not to great efficiency, by the way, but they are a blitzing team. They're going to bring the house against the rookie quarterback Garoppolo. The Patriots know that's coming. Belichick's obviously preparing for that. We're going to think, you know, he's going to do one thing to counter that. He'll probably do the exact opposite of what we think. So it's going to be fascinating on that side of the ball. But yeah, for all the reasons you state, I'm certainly not going to take the Patriots here, but Bill Belichick, man, you'll go broke betting against him, and I'm not giving him 6.5 points, even with Garoppolo behind center.
Do you think quarterback Carson Palmer, who's now 36 years old, we talked about Jordy Nelson, who's only 31, and maybe he's not going to be We don't know if he's going to be as productive as he was a couple of seasons ago, Gil. Carson Palmer, 36 now. He's coming off a career year in which he threw for 4,671 yards and 35 touchdowns against just 11 interceptions in the regular season. Can he be as productive this season? I suppose that's the question as far as the Cards are concerned.
Yeah, I think they have every reason to believe he can be as productive. The only question with Carson Palmer is always, can he stay upright? You know, that's the big thing. Can he stay upright? Can he stay on the field? And as long as that can happen, Carson Palmer's going to be fine. Listen, these quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, it's the toughest position to play. There's the fewest actual great players at that position. If you really look at the landscape in football, I mean, the guys that are starting this week, from Dak Prescott to Carson Wentz to Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock Osweiler to Case Keenum, I mean, there's a bunch of names where you're like, these are starting NFL quarterbacks. So you really do appreciate the top end, and that top end is getting older and older every year. There's a reason why Peyton Manning was allowed to play football till he was 65 years old, Dave. Tom Brady happens to be 64 years old. There's a reason he's still playing football. Carson, listen, I'm being facetious, obviously, about their ages, but Carson Palmer is, what, 37 this year, I think?
Yes.
He's still among the top handful of quarterbacks in the NFL. And again, for him, I don't think it's a question of performance. I think it's just a question of, can they protect him? As long as he's on the field, Cardinals are going to be golden.
Let's have a look at Monday Night Football, Gil. Two games to have a view on here, and we'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Washington Redskins, which is just past midnight on Monday night, Tuesday morning here in the UK. Pittsburgh Steelers 20-33 on the money line. The Washington Redskins are 29-20. The spread is 3 currently, with the Steelers giving the Redskins 3 points. Again, 10-11, the Steelers minus 3. The Redskins plus 3 is 10-11. For first-time listeners here to this podcast, Gil, you obviously have your highly successful Beating the Book podcast stateside. You're a Washington Redskins fan, Gil, always have been. What's the expectation going into the 2016-17 season for your Washington Redskins, Gil?
Well, that's a great question. I grew up in D.C. That's why I'm a Redskin fan. You can take the boy out of D.C., you can't take the Redskins out of the boy. But I will tell you that if you're asking the average Redskin fan what the expectation is, that person might say, well, we won the NFC East last year, only better things to come this year. But that fan would be stupid. I hate to say, the Redskins are sort of the opposite of the Giants. You know, we talked about how the Giants underachieved last year. Well, the Redskins were the opposite of that. They were big-time benefactors of a really easy schedule and just all kinds of luck that the human eye can't process while we're watching football. They had the best fumble luck in 2015. That is to say, when balls were on the ground, it's random as to who recovers those, both offensively and defensively. Well, the Redskins had the best fumble luck recovery in the NFL last year. They stopped the most opposing drives by turnover last year. They benefited from a league-high 6.3% drop rate by opposing receivers. So we can't process that when we're watching games with opposing receivers just dropping the balls against them without being defended. And by the way, I can tell you this anecdotally, Kirk Cousins in his fabulous run last year in the second half of the season, 23 touchdowns against 3 picks from halftime of week 7 on. But I'll tell you, there's a couple games where he threw the ball right in the chest of defenders and they just plumb dropped it. So they go from the easiest schedule, you know, the fifth easiest schedule last season in terms of opposing defenses. And by the way, they didn't beat a single team all season last year, which finished 500 or better. And now they're facing a first-place schedule in the NFC East, which projects as the fourth toughest in the entire National Football League. And it starts with game one against Pittsburgh. We talked about Jacksonville, how, you know, until I see Jacksonville beat a good team, look, they got potential. They got all the promise in the world. But until I see it, I'm gonna hold tight to my wallet. The Redskins are the same thing. I don't care that they went to the playoffs last year. They didn't beat anybody. And they're not going to beat Pittsburgh on Monday night either, I don't think. I can't see them until I see them beating a team. Like, that's a big leap to make. Until you see them beating one of the NFL's elite, and I do consider the Steelers one of the NFL's elite, I just don't – I'm not bullish on the Redskins. And by the way, they could start out very easily 1-4, and then after week 9, they've got the most difficult schedule in the NFL. So there's a scenario here where it could be a disaster season for the Redskins. So how was that for a defeatist Redskins fan opinion on that question?
Already looking 2 months down the line, Gil. Yeah, that's not exactly optimistic.
No, but I think it's founded, you know. I mean, those things, there's some stats in there. I mean, that's – and look, we get into deeper. I don't want to bore your audience about how Kirk Cousins is terrible under pressure and, you know, how he used to be an interception machine and all that stuff. But Pittsburgh's got Big Ben. They're going to have Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell is out for this game with a suspension, so it's going to be D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams is a credible NFL running back. Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh. They're a good football team. They're only giving 3. I'm not going to bet this one, but I'm certainly not going to take, you know, the Redskins as a home dog is not tempting. Let's put it that way.
The Steelers may be leaning that way, -3 at 10-11. The matchup that I'm looking forward to, you mentioned Antonio Brown. He's going to be going up against cornerback Josh Norman. That's one to savor, I think, for week one.
Yeah, you know, the only thing is the Redskins play a lot of zone D. So I wonder how many times we'll see Norman mano a mano with Antonio Brown. I'm sure we'll see it, for sure. I just wonder how many times. And, you know, I hate to go back into the Redskin thing, but Josh Norman, you know, if he helps the Redskins, Josh Norman is great. But, you know, he doesn't address the Redskins' biggest needs, which is running the football, stopping the run, covering tight ends, the things that they're truly weakest on. So great to have him as a Redskin. I don't know that he markedly improves the football team.
Yeah, and just to go back to you leaning towards the Steelers, this isn't a matchup we see regularly in the NFL, Gil, but it's one that Pittsburgh love, isn't it? Historically, they've won 5 in a row in this series against Washington, and that the last time they played at FedEx Field was back in 2000. I don't want to bring this up again, Gil, or rub salt into old wounds here,
Jesus,
but
Jesus.
When they met at FedEx Field back in 2008. Washington had it handed to them, didn't they?
Yeah, it's an interconference game. So these teams play each other once every 4 years, as the NFL schedule has it, because they rotate divisions. So, yeah, once every 4 years. And historically, yeah, these are just not games the Redskins do very well in historically. It's funny. It doesn't matter to today's players, and it shouldn't matter to today's bettors whether the Redskins lost 4-8 12 years ago. But there is something about the fact that the Redskins never seem to get it done against good AFC teams. They just don't.
Okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Washington Redskins is one of the Monday night matches. The other one is the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. And this matchup starts at 3:20 a.m. on Tuesday morning here in the UK. It's an NFC West battle to finish off the weekend. And the Rams back in Southern California after a 21-year stay in St. Louis. The Rams are back in Southern California.
Well, the NFL's dream of returning a team to Los Angeles has finally been realized. And there are exactly 0 people in LA who care. 0.
Looking at this, this matchup, I get the feeling there's not much optimism surrounding either franchise going into the season. So they've relocated to Los Angeles. As you've just said, not many people in Los Angeles care. And they might have a bad team there as well.
Well, that's the thing. Here's the thing with people who are in Los Angeles, and this applies to Los Angeles sports in general. If the team is good, they love that team. So the LA Lakers, over the years, man, do they love the Lakers. But if the Rams were to start out, say, 0-4, and I don't think they will, but let's say they were start out 0-4, man, no one will ever mention them. They will just – they're like, what? We have a football team? I'm sorry. I got to go see movie stars and be at the beach. The thing with this game to me, though, is the Niners, as fascinating as the Rams are, the Niners are even more fascinating because they are so – I mean, they could be so bad this year, Dave. They could be so bad. I keep thinking to myself, all right, you know, I shouldn't follow the instinct that one team is that great and one team is that bad. Come up with reasons why the Niners are going to be that not that bad. And I just can't. I can't. You know, last year they were 5-11, and they were so lucky to be 5-11. Four of their five wins were by one score. People may recall the Bears and the Rams in weeks 13 and 17 both missed game-winning field goals against them. The Falcons in week 9 kicked a field goal from the one-yard line when they needed a late touchdown. The Niners ended up winning that 17-16. So if anything, San Francisco could have very easily been 2-14 last year as opposed to 5-11. By the way, we talked about fumble luck with the Redskins. The 49ers recovered 12 of their 15 fumbles on offense, best rate in the league on offense. So they had fumble luck too. And now, you know, they scored the fewest points in the NFL last year. They're going with Blaine Gabbert instead of Colin Kaepernick, which is a whole other subject. And I don't think Blaine Gabbert's as good as Colin Kaepernick, but apparently the new coach, Chip Kelly, wants to go with Blaine Gabbert. And Chip Kelly is famous for the sheer speed with which he runs his offense. So they could stink and stink while playing an incredibly fast brand of football. And their defense is just going to get worn out because the offense isn't going to be able to stay on the field. So, I mean, it could be so bad. I like the Rams' defense here. That's the only reason why I'm taking the Rams in this game.
And they've got a good running back, haven't they? And Todd Gurley, who Jeff Fisher, their coach, has said he's going to be protected as if he was a quarterback this season, Gil, mainly because they're probably not bothered whether they protect their quarterback or not, because Todd Gurley is going to, I think they're going to just load him up and ask him to run, aren't they, basically?
Yeah, Todd Gurley's fantastic. And, you know, Jeff Fisher can say that all he wants, but so if you're going to protect Gurley, then what exactly are you going to do? Like, I don't, you know, they're not going to scare anybody throwing the football. Case Keenum is not scaring anybody. He's not terrible, but he's not scaring anybody. They're going to give Gurley the ball. In the heat of a game, I do not expect Jeff Fisher to be like, well, I got to protect Gurley. So guess we'll send Case Keenum back. Gurley's phenomenal. They're going to use him and use him a lot. I think it's a good hope to protect him. It's a good thought, but I don't think it's going to happen in practice. The real key to the Rams, they've got Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn together on defense, and they are a sight to behold. That is a sort of like the least talked about great player in football is Aaron Donald of the Rams on defense. He is a force, and now he's got Quinn next to him, so they're going to be really good on defense. And I think this is one of those spots where, again, new coach for the Niners, all those things I mentioned, I lean Rams here. I don't love it, but I lean Rams here.
The money line, the Los Angeles Rams 5-7, the San Francisco 49ers 6-5, and we're just less than a field goal on the spread. -2.5, the LA Rams at 20-23, with the 49ers +2.5 at 20-21. Gil, we've been through the five televised matches, as we did on last year's podcast. Here at William Hill, if you are having a six-fold, a six-team accumulator, you do qualify for what is Acker Insurance, the pick six market here, where if one lets you down, you get your stake back as a free bet. So each and every week, Gil, you're going to give us your six best.
Yes, the pick six.
The pick
what
six.
I'll do is I'll give you my five super contest picks and a sixth. How about that?
Sounds That's good to me. Do.
All right. Well, the Giants are going to be the first one. That's the one I feel most strongly about. I love the Giants going into Dallas against Dak Prescott. Probably a high-scoring game. The Giants, though, will get it done. They'll outlast the Cowboys. Giants are pick number one. We talked about Jacksonville. I'm taking a big gulp. I'm going to take Jacksonville in the points. They are my second pick of the week for all the reasons we stated. I'm scrolling down here so I can give you number three. I'm going to take the Rams, who we just talked about, at San Francisco. I like that Rams defense at San Francisco. That'll be pick number three. Pick number four, the Jets. I'm going to take the Jets, Dave. Slight underdogs at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, and I'm not really quite sure why. Like, I'm not sure why we're scared of the Bengals without Tyler Eifert. Bengals were a playoff team last year, but the Jets, they very well could be a playoff team this year. I like the Jets getting points at home as pick number four. And then pick number five. I don't love doing this in week one, And a lot of these picks, as you can determine, as you can tell here in week one, I don't love Jacksonville, but I'm taking them. I don't love the Rams, but I'm taking them. The truth is, we don't really know what we're getting in week one. That's why these are still picks, even though I'm not as confident as I'd love to be. But pick number five is something that you won't make money on long term, given all these points away. But in week number one here, I'm going to go with the surest thing I can find in terms of knowing that a football team is solid. I'm taking the Seahawks, and I'm given 10 points against the Dolphins at home. I really think the Seahawks are going to have a monster season, and I think they'll be the last remaining undefeated team standing this season as well. So I'm taking Seattle as my fifth pick. Pick number six, to complete the pick six, I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears at Houston. Getting 6 points right about now, six and a half, I'm not sure what it is right now. I think it's six. And the only reason there is I just don't understand why Houston would be giving six. Like, what is it about Houston that makes us think they should be a six-point favorite against everybody here, against anybody, I should say? Obviously, there's the Jay Cutler factor. That scares me, as it should anybody. But I'll take the Bears plus six as picks as the sixth.
Brilliant. Thank you, Gil. So that's the pick six for this week. Gil, as always, it's an absolute pleasure speaking to you on this podcast. Make sure, listeners, you check out Gil's podcast, Stateside. You'll find that tweeted out on Gil's Twitter handle, at Beating the Book, and you can follow myself, at D. Kellner. Good luck with the pick six and all your bets this week, Gil, and we'll catch up next week. It's been an honour speaking to you, and hopefully we'll have success week number one, and we'll get stuck into week number two next Friday, Gil.
Absolutely. Good luck to you too, Dave. Thanks for having me, as always. Love being here.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.